I only do things that I want to do. It took me a long time to figure it out, but saying no is very important. So if there's something that I'm not really feeling, I don't do it. So that way I'm going to bed at night happy. I'm waking up every morning happy. So this year I enjoy my work. I enjoy everything about real estate, but I never want to feel like I'm a slave to the job.
Welcome to the Real Estate Law Podcast. Jason Muth here with Pride Away Stays and Straightforward Short-Term Rentals. Rory, our guest today, is right up my alley. I'm going to explain why we're in touch with this guy. He reached out to us on Instagram, and the second picture up there was of Seth Rollins, WWE superstar. So that is an immediate way to get onto this podcast. And Rory, you're such a huge WWE fan. I know we've watched so many events together.
All I know about the WWE is John Cena is from near where we live. And there, that's all I know about the WWE, but, I do know, but I am happy to talk about some of the other things that we have to talk about today, which are a lot. So our guest today has experience as a broker, as a real estate investor. And as a WWE fan. So,
Most importantly, his son is now 7 and into WWE. And when we were talking off camera, we mentioned we're outside Boston. We're in Newburyport, Massachusetts, and Sean Frost from Ottawa said, "Oh, isn't John Cena from up there? He's from West Newbury, right?" And like, bingo, this is the guy. This is who we want on our podcast. So Mr. Frost, welcome to the Real Estate Law Podcast.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jason. Thanks, Rory. Appreciate it. Looking forward to diving in and conquering some real estate and some investment strategies, and then obviously diving into a couple other things.
Love that background you have there too. If you're watching this on YouTube, that is a serious background. Sean Frost Real Estate. Is that like a step and repeat that you bring to events, or is that just like your kind of recording background at your house or your office?
That's my wall in my office. So I got the wall done here. So I've got the mantra "Live like they dream" above me, and then a bunch of motivational sayings. It just looks good in the room. And then actually, I blew out a closet in my office, so I just built a study in there. So I've got an extra room joining, and it's all black crown molding, black everything. Just a nice little bar and, just doing it up. So reflecting on a successful day or a non-successful day, it's a good space for me.
The emblem that you have behind your head, that I know that you're connected with a soccer club also, right?
So I am.
That reminds me of that, like, how you'd see that on the soccer kit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. It's the badge for sure. So I had it first. We're just putting that out there, but yes, I am an official partner with our professional soccer team here.
Okay, all right. So much stuff to unpack there. Plus, hustle, loyalty, respect. Right? That's John Cena.
You got it, man. You got it.
All right, Rory. I promise I'll stop. Right? We're going to talk real estate in this episode.
Yes, we are.
So, all right. Sean, you're in Ottawa right now, and you are a real estate developer. You're an entrepreneur. You're connected to the music industry as well somehow. You kind of have your fingers in a lot of entrepreneurial things, which is fascinating, and it's really par for the course for people that are in our space. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started and how you got to where you are right now?
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks. So it's basically I started my own company when I was about 18, 17, 18. I was producing music, so I was making beats, basically just creating, coming from a music background. My dad's a singer. His best friend was a sound man. So, for like a live sound engineer. So luckily, like every big gig that was coming through Ottawa and even close by, I was always able to kind of tag along as a young kid, jump on the tour buses, do the backstage, do the sound checks. So that was kind of my first passion, that and soccer. So I just utilized the music stuff, got into producing, made some money. I was going to school at the same time. My mom really hammered home that getting an education was probably just as important as chasing a music dream. So I was actually working. I had a couple studios that I was working out of, owned one of them. It was a home studio, but owned it nonetheless. And just making music, going to school, ended up, kind of growing up. That lifestyle wasn't going to last forever. So ended up cashing out some of the music and started the music money and started a general contracting company that I hated. I was kind of just overseeing the business side, like the sales side. Absolutely despised it. So kind of hit rock bottom at that point. I had my degree from university, but I'm not a 9-to-5 guy. It wasn't for me. I was happy to have the piece of paper. But yeah, then just ended up trying to figure out what was up. My buddy reached out to me and he's like, you know what? I think you'd be a great real estate agent. Think this is something you should dive into. Thought about it. I don't really like sales. I'm not a salesman, but I do like customer service and client service. I'm a people person. So I said, you know what? Let's try it. So went through the schooling, did it, fell in love with it right away, super passionate about it. And then obviously thought, okay, it got to the point the real estate started because my mom was selling the property that I had, basically the first and only home that we ever owned. It was a townhouse, cute little spot, but I had the studio in the basement. And she's like, she met somebody, she was moving in with them. I got to sell the property. So I'm like, man, too nostalgic to lose the studio. How can I figure out how to make this happen? So I wasn't even at a position where I wasn't a real estate agent at this point. Figured out how to buy the property, bought that property, moved into it, my first home, and then kind of got the taste, especially as soon as I started getting into real estate. I was like, man, like this is, I'm watching these guys, like, you know, clients of mine, you know, make some flips, make some moves, building steps to get to the next level. And I'm like, well, this is a no-brainer. Like, I should be working my job, but I should also be doing this on the side and you know, making moves, making money, upgrading quality of life, all that. So it became, you know, running successful real estate business as a broker, running my own little team. And then also, you know, my wife was doing interior decorating, interior design stuff. So I'm like, okay, well, let's start doing stuff for ourselves. Let's try to connect the dots to get the next property and then kind of diversify that way. So that kind of led me down a bunch of different avenues that we can touch on after in terms of like my own real estate investing and some, yeah, just different methods that I've, you know, they've all pretty much worked, which has been great. Some better than others, but yeah, just kind of built off of that. And then here we are.
Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds like you got the bite in real estate and then used it to start a bunch of different entrepreneurial things, which I think are kind of different from each other. One thing I want to key on in the beginning is your real estate team. What made you decide that you just didn't want to be a real estate agent and build your own business, but that you wanted to lead a team of others?
Well, luckily for the best reason, Rory, and that's just the amount of volume, just being too busy. To go back on the wrestling thing or the entrepreneurial thing, basically my life is super simple. So I only, aside from going to doctors, dentists, stuff like that, I only do things that I want to do. It took me a long time to figure it out, but saying no is very important. So if there's something that I'm not really feeling, I don't do it. So that way I'm going to bed at night happy. I'm waking up every morning happy. So, I enjoy my work. I enjoy everything about real estate, but I never want to feel like I'm a slave to the job or a slave to a career. My family comes first. Quality of life is more than anything. Like, what's the point of putting in the hours and putting in the effort if you're not going to be able to enjoy it? I don't want to look back at the end of the day and be like, you know, I missed out on this, this, and this because, you know, I worked really hard and yeah, it paid off in the end, but then it's the end. Maybe I missed something in the middle that you can't go back. You can't get the time back. Right. So, building the team was just the amount of volume that was coming in. So I thought, you know, having a couple like junior agents under me, getting some more admins, you know, virtual assistant. I do a lot of power through the community. I do a lot of my marketing and advertising through community engagement rather than traditional marketing. So I needed an event coordinator to help me plan events, take care of things, get my name, get my personal brand out that weren't just, you know, bus signs, radio ads. I wanted to really like make a difference in the community, especially because I came up that way. Like I came up through, you know, community programs and some assistance and whatnot. So it's a great way to one, give back and then get my name out, even though they might not be real estate clients, doesn't matter. It's the content, the recognition, kind of what I stand for. So then when people do search me or come across my profile somewhere, they're like, man, this is the kind of guy that I'd like to just reach out to and shoot the breeze with and see if maybe he'll be our next agent, you know, our next representative. Like who knows where it leads, right? The other thing too is my legal name is Sean McRae. Everybody knows me as Sean Frost because that was my producer name in the music industry. So when I started the real estate business, I was like, man, nobody's going to even know who Sean McRae is. I'm going to have to start from scratch. Whereas this way I was able to bring that Sean Frost brand back into Ottawa and kind of use it to level up a little bit faster. So this way I can trade under the Sean Frost real estate team with eXp Realty, but my legal name is Sean McRae.
It's your wrestling name. Every superstar has got their own on-camera name. That's not the real name.
That's it.
You know, like, I mean, yeah. Seth Rollins, like his name is Colby.
That's like, right.
Not even Seth, right? Although I do think John Cena is John Cena.
It is. So a few of them, Jason, are catching on because you'll see a few of them using their real names now. So that way, if they end up jumping ship to different promotions, they don't have to switch the whole gimmick and switch the whole name.
Well, we saw a big one of those last night. We're recording this in March, and Sasha Banks here in Boston is now Mercedes Moné in AEW. I don't know if you're watching.
Hurts
that,
my heart a little bit.
Yeah, but Mercedes is her real name, and she actually is from this area, or she moved to this area, but she calls it home. So, what's fascinating about that story is the direction that you took, with things like, local events and coordinating and really building your brand in the community, not doing things, the standard way. Like, you don't look like the standard real estate agent, that too, right?
I'm
you
got the furthest thing from it.
Yeah, you're the furthest thing from it, but maybe that makes you a little bit more relatable, and your brand is just who you are. Like, there's probably a level of authenticity to what we're getting right now from Sean, despite the fact that, Frost isn't your real name. That's your name, though. Like, that's what you're known as. And the rest of it is, you see what you can get. And I loved how you mentioned that, saying no is easy. I don't think enough people say no to things that they don't want to do. Do you think that you reached the point in your life financially where you were able to do that? Or do you think that that can be done without having the finances to back up why you want to say no to something?
I think there's levels to it. So I think, to be well-rounded, yes, of course you have to be good financially to be able to pass up certain opportunities, and that's a big, big thing is investment opportunities now to go on that is that, yeah, I am good. I'm in a great spot. The family's in a great spot. Super fortunate where yes, if something comes across my desk and the numbers might look good or, but maybe if there's just something that I'm not feeling, if I'm not 100% behind it, money is just money. Like, it's just like, there'll be another one and the next opportunity will be something that I'm really, maybe really excited about. And I'm ready to dive in, even if it's for less money and the return's not as good, doesn't matter. It's something that I'm going to enjoy. Mm-hmm. Whereas now if I get tied up into something that maybe the money's really good and the terms are all right, but it's just not something that I really care about. And then I jump in. Well, then what happens if the next opportunity comes up 2 weeks later of something to be like, oh, I'd kill to be involved in this. And it's like, oh, I just overextended myself, or I'd be overextending myself to jump into this. I've got to see the other one through first. Mm-hmm. Just do things that you're passionate about. But in terms of saying, it wasn't easy for me. It took me a long time to figure that out, like very recently, to actually start saying no, but it of course started in the social space. So it was more, being invited to things or asked to do things. I didn't feel necessarily obligated, but I always felt bad declining. So it'd be like, I don't actually really have anything else going on at this particular time. I could do it. Yeah, I'll do it. But then I started going, well, like I don't really want to do it. So, I appreciate it. But no, I don't think it's the right move for me, or, and just kind of respectfully let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to say no sometimes, especially to people who people that you've done business with or friends of yours in the past. Do you have to find an excuse as to say no to them? Or is it just I'm not able to make it, and just kind of leave it at that?
I think it's situational, but especially if it's through friends, I have no issue just letting them know that I'm just not really feeling it. And it's the same thing that I would hope for them. I would never want to ask them to, partake in something or to fulfill some sort of obligation if they weren't really into it. And I'm, mm-hmm. and then I find out that I'm dragging them along and they're regretting their decision at this point, it's just kind of like, yeah, man, like, no, it's, Thanks,
good to know.
But,
yeah.
Thanks, but no thanks. But catch, keep me posted and catch me on the next one. Cause if it's something that I can help out with and that I'm interested in, then I'm with you.
Yeah. You know, I reached a point also in my life where I'm okay not doing things that I kind of should have been doing or were doing in the past. And I'm also at the point where if I want to go do something, I do it. Or if I want to get something done, I just spend the money on it and I figure it out later on. Or yeah. I, you know, buy the resource. A lot of people in my real estate mastermind have talked about mindset and thinking about the next person that you want to become. I don't know if you're kind of one of those people, but like if you visualize yourself as a $1 million a month person, just throwing a number out there, right? You know, but you're not that now. How do you get to that lifestyle and how do you get to that person? You take steps toward being that person right now versus waiting until you have that resource to be able to do it. What are your thoughts on that kind of thinking?
Well, I'm a massive supporter of manifestation. That whole mindset is unreal. That's actually how I got my first, real home purchase. I was in this townhome. And then we were doing okay, making ends meet, but that was it. Like there was no abundance. There was no extra. It was literally paying the bills and like getting by. And I worked at the hospital at the same time. So I was doing, double duty, like working hospital full time, doing real estate full time, and grinding, and started off well. The first year of real estate was really good. But then, during that first year, I was like, okay, like, let me broaden my horizons, get some knowledge on some design work. So I just said, okay, I'm going to go out to these, to the builders, like the track homes, like the builders that are around, look at the new design ideas they're doing in for the interior decorating structurally, like what's kind of on the come up, so that when I'm meeting with clients and they're talking about renos or flips or whatever, I can at least have something to input. And, I said, okay, like I'm going to go do this. And just before I went randomly to go see these builders, my wife was like, hey, you know what? Like things are a little tough. You should read The Secret. And I'm like, okay, sure. Anyway, I read this thing, right? I'm like, give her the benefit of the doubt. So I read the book and I was like, okay, maybe it's a little bit fluffy, but I'm going to embrace it. I'll take it on. And then, oddly enough, I wrote a check, a blank check for $25,000 and put it on my vision board. It was 2 days later. I go through these builders, and as I'm talking with one of the builders, they're like, hey, we have this lot, nice, cute little corner lot, fire sale basically, because the buyer just backed out on it. It's a quick close, quick occupancy. It'll be done in 8 months. You still get to pick all your finishes. And the size was right for just the two of us at the time. And I'm like, man, sounds great, but I'm in definitely no position to be buying a house. I'm like, what would it take to get it going? And they're like, $25,000 deposit. I'm like, okay, well, I don't have $25,000 in my bank account, so that's not going to happen. But I looked at the numbers and they're like, this is the price for the build. And I'm like, man, like the mortgage wise, it's going to translate to the same thing as my rent. So basically all I got to do is figure out how to get this down payment in the next 8 months. Jason, you mentioned earlier, like figure it out, buy what you want or do what you want and figure it out. That's literally my motto is, we'll figure it out. Something comes up, we hit a snag, we hit a roadblock, get frustrated for 2 minutes and then just laugh about it and be like, we'll figure it out. Cause that's what you have to do. So that's what you're going to do. Anyway, I went to the bank. I ended up speaking with somebody at the bank and I said, hey, like, what are the odds of me opening a line of credit? And they're like, yeah, no problem. Let's run it through. And they're like, hey, we just got you pre-approved without having to really go in depth for $25,000. And that was like leaving the builder. It's like 15 minutes later. I'm like, okay, yeah, open that account. So they open it, wrote the check, drove back to the builder, handed him a check. I mean, here's $25,000. Went home. My wife's like, how'd it go? I'm like, pretty good. I was like, picked up some ideas and we bought a house.
Yeah.
She's like, sir, what? I was like, well, come back with me. I brought her to the builder. We go in, this and that. Mm-hmm. We're leaving. We get in the car and she's like, did we actually just buy a house? I'm like, we just bought a house. We got to figure it out. So, and the goal was, I knew that I could sell the property that I was currently in and get the money back, but that wasn't the goal. The goal was to keep that house, keep the studio. I worked my butt off to get the house in the first place and keep that studio. So I didn't want to let it go. Ended up making it work. And that was my first, the first real move. So I jumped there, kept the other house, still have it to this day, and use it as an income property.
You know, one of the lessons about manifestation, I am certainly not a manifestation guru, but I understand some of the principles behind it. The whole, like, I don't know, if it sounds like a good idea, I'll go figure that out, is putting yourself out there. You know, that's one thing that you clearly have done really well in all the communities and all the things you've done in the past, is like letting people know that you exist, what you're doing, what you're looking to do, how you want to help. You know, there's too many people that basically just do the same thing every single day and don't put themselves into a different comfort zone. So you're not meeting different people to let them know that you're interested in doing X, Y, or Z. You know, no disrespect to hanging out with your family all the time, your extended family all the time, the same friends that you have. But, you know, you kind of get the same thinking with that group of people. And then if you go out there and spread your wings a little bit and start introducing yourself to other people and having conversations like this, you know, suddenly you could become a different person, you know, because those people don't know who you are or what you were or where you came from. But if they know where you're going, they could certainly help you get there. That sounds so cliche, but it's completely true. You know, Sean, if you're a big community person, you know, throughout Ottawa and you're building your business there, you know, why do you have event coordinators involved with your staff? You have it involved because you're putting yourself into other situations where you never know who you're going to meet and how you could help them or they could help you, right?
100%. 100%. And yeah, so getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, I'm good at that. I know that's one of my strengths because I don't take myself too seriously. So if I'm kind of in the water, you know, in deeper waters that I'm not accustomed to, you know, I'll prep and do whatever I need to do for that situation that I possibly can beforehand so that I'm not, you know, drowning. But I have no issue letting people know, like, hey, I'm just getting into this space, or this is something that I'm really passionate about or interested in. You know, you're the expert in it, or you've done this a million times. Like, let me pick your brain, or how can I get involved, or what can I do to help? And then, you know, you do something that you're uncomfortable with or that you haven't done many times before. Well, it's repetition, right? And it's just like, once you start doing things a couple times and learning, well, then all of a sudden, like, then it just becomes something that you're now comfortable with. So you're not uncomfortable being in those types of situations anymore because mm-hmm. you've already done them. So then just move on to something else that you're passionate about. And I don't ever want to feel like I'm like it's Groundhog Day. I don't like going through the motions at all of being like, you know, I know what today is going to bring. I'm going to wake up, take my kid to school, put in 8 hours, pick my kid up at school, go home, hang out. And it's not a bad day. Hang out with him, play, you know, have dinner, throw him in the bath, get, and then go to bed. Like, not a bad day by any means, but it's just not my day.
Right.
Like, it's just not for me. I don't miss pickups. I don't miss school drop-offs. I have non-negotiables, you know, exercising, eating right, like all that stuff. Those are non-negotiables that are going to be a part of every day's routine. And it's not to say I don't have a routine. I have a very pretty strict routine. But it's just, it's that balance of just being able to like be open. And that's what real estate has done, is given me that freedom, not just financially, but just in life, where if something pops up, it's like, yo, I'm in it. Let's do it. Like, this sounds exciting, right? Like let's dive in. Right.
So I have a tactical question on that front. If you're doing all these different activities, you're, you know, adding variety to your days, how do you balance all your competing endeavors and stay on top of everything?
So great question. So it's good. So I have my real estate, you know, real estate is at the forefront for me. So that, it is the, basically what's bringing in the most for me. So real estate, I wake up in the morning, I have my checklist every day. It's the same repeating list first thing in the morning, and it's building off that momentum. So I go through my list, get everything done that I know that most people probably get done, you know, not to knock anybody, but like a list that somebody might go through in 4 or 5 hours or 8 hours of a day, I'm getting done in 2 hours because it's clockwork for me and I work on efficiency. So I'm grinding, I'm working. So then the momentum's already going. So by the time it hits like 8 o'clock in the morning, I've done 14 tasks for my day. I kind of know what the day is going to be bringing me, except for, like, you know, of course, any fires that arise in the real estate world. But aside from that, I know what the day is going to shape up like. The other thing too is, like, now I'm in the music industry. My artist that that I work with, that I manage, is with Columbia, but lives out in LA. I moved him to LA a year and a half ago. So there's a 3-hour time difference there, which is a blessing, because then, well, he's, you know, if he's in the studio or working and things are getting done in the music industry generally at night. So if he's out in the studio from 8 you know, even 8 o'clock. Well, that's 11 p.m. here. So I'm not doing real estate work at 11 p.m. So I can juggle the music and the real estate pretty easy because of that time difference. And then anything that does come up overlapping, because I'm not stuck at a desk or stuck in an office setting where I have, you know, an employer or a boss, anything that comes at me on in any, you know, whether it's something to do with one of the investment properties or a build that I'm doing or, you know, anything with my clients or anything on the music side, I'm equipped to handle that because I'm actually available. Like I'm fluid. I can be anywhere or do anything that I want to do at any time, partly thanks to technology and partly because those jobs, there's no cap and it's an entrepreneurial thing. It's on me, right?
But also partly because you're not working for somebody else that's going to come down on you if you have to deal with stuff with your artist, right?
Yeah, and can't be doing that.
You put yourself in that position over time by being able to build up, you know, a real estate business under your own brand with investments where you have, you know, passive and active income coming in that allows you to live the life that you want to, where you have your routine that you're going through, you're dropping your child off and coming and picking your child up from school, but then you're also able to do some stuff, you know, with, you know, in your passion in the music industry, which you clearly is where your passion started because you have that studio, right? It all goes back to like, you know, what you were doing even before real estate. But if you were working for somebody else, you know, they're not going to want you to be doing all that on their time, right? If you're working 8-9 hours a day for someone else, it's impossible.
Definitely. So I was so fortunate. I worked at the hospital for 13 years. I started there when I was in my early 20s and I was coming out of the music, like still doing music production, but coming out of that lifestyle. So they were always really, really good with me. As long as work was getting done, I worked in patient care again, working with people is my jam. So they were extremely lenient and forgiving in terms of me doing a little bit of work on the side here and there, without being reprimanded. And the same thing happened in real estate. So that was how my business took off on the real estate market is I actually stayed at the hospital for 4 years after I got my real estate license and I farmed the hospital because I worked in radiology. So, you know, you're dealing with nurses, doctors, surgeons, radiologists. So it was an excellent, excellent spot to start building my clientele. And that's what I did for 4 years until I basically, you know, my wife basically forced me out and she's like, this is crazy that you're going to work 4 hours a day at a hospital for this amount. And it's literally with commute, it's taking, you know, 5-6 hours out of your day. She's like, I think you've like made your statement and left your mark. It's time to pack it up. So then I finally did. Cause I actually loved that job. It wasn't about the money. I loved it. Yeah. But she was right. Like it was just consuming so much time that opened the doors for so many other things down the road.
You know, but you could argue that, you know, you said farmed your hospital, which I think is a fascinating way to say it. You literally used that for lead generation.
Oh, for sure. That was 100% of my business. That was, you know, we're talking first year, probably close to 100,000 GCI just from the hospital as a rookie agent.
Yeah. Rory, Sean is not the first medical professional we've spoken with on this podcast who basically has said, you know, my way to freedom and the way for medical professionals to get freedom is to work in real estate as well. But I have the credibility to speak their language and the real estate language. Isn't that, it's fascinating.
Well, and it's fascinating how many of them were doing well in the medical industry before they started real estate, but still decided that they, you know, they were going to pursue real estate and use that as a way to get their time freedom back. Because as much as you can have a really rewarding career in the medical field, it's not one that really lends itself very well to time freedom.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, with passion being both with real estate and, you know, in the artistry of music, you know, where are things headed for you, Sean?
Yeah. So hopefully on the up and up for both, but on the real estate side. So I have my, here in Ontario, there's, basically a certification. It's called Tarion. So that's your builder's license. Not the easiest thing to get. It's very tedious. I have no issue with school. So one of my philosophies is always being enrolled in a course of some sort, to, you know, broaden my horizons, just keep learning, keep growing. Again, only stuff that I'm interested in, and it doesn't necessarily have to equate to making money. It's just, if I want to, you know, dive into something, I do it. So, I thought, you know, I hated the general contracting company, but then I got to a point where I had, you know, really good friends that were excellent contractors that could build this and that. And one of them approached me and said, hey, like, you know, I'm doing these renos, you know, I really want to get into custom home building, but this is what it entails. And I said, all right, well, how about, what if I go do all the education, I get the certification, and then we could team up, you run the show, I'll be basically a silent partner that's providing the certificate, the license, and then you start building custom homes, and then I'll just kind of passively make off of every home that you build, that we build, you know, just kick something my way. These are the terms. And he's like, sounds good. So then I went, did the schooling, got licensed. So then, you know, was able to create a company, you know, a custom home building company, and started doing that, not just for myself now to build, but for like contract homes for clients and people that, you know, we could advertise to. So then started that, had another colleague, good friend of mine, home inspector, excellent contractor as well. And he said, well, you know, I want to do that as well. And they're two separate groups. So I'm like, well, here are the terms kind of thing. Like, I'm down if we can work this out. He's like, great. So got that going. And then, so then there was two custom home building companies. I actually teamed up with a bunch of guys from like elementary school that we do a property investment corp. So we own a bunch of doors, do our own property management, have that going, which is a blast. We meet once a month, you know, group chat all the time. But again, it's guys that I've known since grade school. So we're having fun with it, making good moves. Luckily, we got a lot of bases covered with like engineering and accounting. And so, you know, there's a good synergy there, but again, another business that like, I'm not necessarily the only guy, but I'm able to kind of leverage through my friends and vice versa. You know, we can kind of get things going and keep that as well. And then I purchased some land. So I'm actually working on a little development right now. I should be able to do 16 homes. I'm just working with the township, trying to be strategic, so I'm not on the hook for too many development charges and connection charges. So that's a little bit of strategy on my end. But yeah, just having fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before we go into some of our final questions, I want to ask an operational question, which is, how do you coordinate all this? Like, how big is your team? You did mention something about having VAs offshore. There's probably some people on the ground here, people overseas. Who's in charge of the nuts and bolts of all this stuff?
Yeah, great question. So real estate, I have a full-time admin. She was the old broker, the previous broker of record at my boutique brokerage that we moved over to EXP. So then her broker of record spot was gone from the previous brokerage. So she basically, I teamed up and just said, listen, like whatever you're making, like, can you work with me and be my full-time business operations, handle all my paperwork in terms of the real estate side. So she does all the paperwork. She's an absolute guru. So alleviates so much for me. And that was the biggest acquisition, to have Heather take care of all the paperwork and stuff from EXP. So really, like, EXP contacts her if they need anything. So I'm not getting bothered by those. No, I shouldn't say bothered, but I'm not getting those phone calls or emails saying you're missing this, or we need this, or what's going on here. That all goes to Heather. So she takes care of it. That takes so much off my plate. I have my colleague Shannon. She does all my event coordinating. So anything to do with the community, anything to do with Atletico Ottawa, which is our soccer club, goes through her. That's powered through her. I've got Rosie. She's my VA, very proficient. She's basically an English teacher and works in and has like an accounting background. So I was very strategic when I was doing interviews to make sure I got the right fit. She's not afraid to give me the gears if I'm slacking on something. She handles basically all my lead generation that's coming in through social media ads, Google ads, anything that's coming from the outside. She's on top of every day vetting and getting to the point where I just have to reach out, set them up on a search, and away we go for business. And then she also runs my QuickBooks, so that when it comes time to submitting things for my accountant, everything's nice and tidy and wrapped up with a decent bow. That's not my forte at all, is the accounting space. Definitely a weaker part of my business. So that's why I do have people to help carry me there. I know what I'm good at, and I definitely know and recognize what I'm not good at. And then, yeah, I have a couple agents under me, so they can help out with leads, help out with showings, open houses, all that stuff. So yeah, a fairly well-oiled machine. It's, you know, I'm happy.
But then you built that over time though. Like when you when you consciously decided to go in this direction, you weren't like, here's the structure that we need. Or were you? Or did you say, okay, you added one person, then we need this person, then we need this person? Like, because, you know, a lot of people listen to this and they say, well, how do I get to that? Like, it just seems so overwhelming with all the different things that you have to add on. You know, were you a sketch the whole thing out and here's the vision, or were you a, you know, piecemeal, put it all together?
Yeah, fantastic question. Super important in my life, actually. So I'm glad you asked. So at the point, I pieced it all together. So it was like, step one, get this admin, get me off paperwork duty. You know, like, don't, I don't want to be writing offers. I don't want to be doing anything that involves paperwork. If I don't have to, it's pretty time consuming. It is a different process here as it is in the States. I've had this discussion with Ryan Serhant in New York, when I was there for, hanging out with him, and we were chatting about offers and how the process works. So, you know, getting a deal done, and I'm like, oh my God, it's a lot different. Lawyers do a lot more. I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying that too. The responsibility of a lawyer there is a lot different than the responsibility in terms of workflow here. That's politically correct. So that's one thing. But yeah, it was, you know, I just kind of added the pieces as I go with business and with moves that I make now. That is one of my philosophies. So like one of my top three things to take is like, one is being able to say no when you want to say no. The other one is I always try to connect the dots backwards now. So I with part of the manifestation stuff too, about trying to think about getting to that spot or getting to the next level, you have to be realistic. You can't just say like, hey, you know, I'm going to be a multimillionaire. It doesn't just fall down, right? Like it doesn't just happen. You actually have to make it happen, but you do have to be putting that energy out into the world as well, into the universe, being like, I'm going to achieve this, but then this is how I'm going to achieve it. And those opportunities will come to you, but you have to be out there for them to hit you in the face, right? So now I always try to get my goal and then I work it backwards. So then I'll do it in steps and I'll be like, okay, to get to there, I have to do this, but to do this, I have to do this. And to do that, I have to do that. And just draw it, like, as primitive as it seems, I'll draw it out. I'll take a Bristol board and draw it out if I have to. And then be like, okay, like I'm a visual guy. So I'm like, all right, yeah, there's like eight steps here, but step four and step six are like pretty basic. As soon as I get to those steps, they'll be done within a couple of days. Then I move on to the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People just have a hard time visualizing how to get to that final goal. And then they just give up. You know, I think that happens a lot.
I'd map it out. I would just start at the end and then try to work it back. And then if you can't, then just start at the end and then go from the beginning and be like, okay, how could I possibly get here? Like, do I have to start talking to people? Do I have to start doing some advertising? Like, it's just take a course. Do I know anything about this subject? Right. Like it's.
Please tell me that the end you started with the music is that you on stage, the Grammy Awards. Is that visualization?
No, it was actually so much smaller than that. Well, one of them is definitely getting a plaque on the wall. So we're very close in Canada to at least having a gold record, which is pretty awesome because my artist is only 22 years old. We just signed a year and a half ago. Debut projects coming out basically in the spring, towards the end of the spring, hopefully. And then the album is underway right now. So it's all that is super exciting. My goal for the music industry was just to be in the music industry. Like, let me get a taste. Let me live that lifestyle where I'm not just a fan or a tag along. I want to play a role. I don't want it to be a big role. Cause again, that's more time consuming that I'm taking away from my family and the stuff that I value a little bit more. But let me have a contribution and let me be involved. And like right now I'm in such a great space where like I'm involved with so many people from Colombia, so many people kind of on the artistry side that like I'm fans of, like I was fans of 2 years ago. And now like I can text and call, meet back, like hang out backstage and really not just as a fan, but like, hey dude, like I know you're here, like cool if I roll up or come through and like that kind of stuff or get those messages and be like, hey, we're doing this. We'd like you to be a part of it. Same thing with the soccer team. It's those types of opportunities. Like the music stuff has been great, but like the soccer team, the professional club, we're owned by Atletico Madrid, which is one of the biggest clubs in the entire world. Like Atletico Ottawa actually approached me for the partnership, which was again, such a great feeling. Like it was like, hey, can you do a lunch? Sat down and they're like, listen, you're doing so much for the community. And we know that your personal brand is centered around that. We know that you're already coming to every game, every match here. The synergies are aligned. You already have a suite at the stadium. So like, this is what we want to propose. We actually want to help, like give back and help you. Let's work together. And so we've been doing something ever since, which has been huge for the personal brand, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's it. I hope you're not overextended. You got a lot going on there.
Not at all. I am so happy. It's yeah. Yeah. I don't want to say I could cry, but yeah. I'm so fortunate. And that was the thing about reaching out for the podcast, Jason and Rory, like that was my, for 2024, I'm like, man, it's not that I want to toot my own horn, but I'm like, if I could jump on, meet people, like I don't know when I'm going to be in Newbury. Right. So like,
you come here, we're going to have to go, we'll go look for, we'll do a tour of where John Cena went to high school and where he goes out for dinner. I mean, like legitimately, Rory, well, you're having lunch today, Rory, at somewhere that John Cena was seen last time he was here, because there were photos of it and our neighbors own the place. Right.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yep. Nice.
Yeah. The restaurant downstairs where I am right now. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, right on. That's cool. Yeah. But, sorry to go on that. Yeah. It's not overextending as well at all, because again, if I feel like I'm getting to that point, then I don't take the next opportunity and I just let things breathe.
Mm-hmm. You know, so my background is in the media business, radio here in the US long time ago. You know, I was on the air for a bit. I didn't get deep into it on the artist side because I never was a program director or a music director, but you know, I had friends that were all those, and I worked with a ton of them during my time doing research for iHeartMedia. And you know, you see, I still see them online now, you know, backstage at all these big festivals and everything, right next to all these artists. I certainly have met a lot of artists and interviewed them myself, but like, I didn't have that relationship you're talking about that the program directors did, where they might know, you know, the A&R people or the artists themselves. And I could see how alluring of an industry that is. I got a good taste of it for a long, long time, you know, so, you know, you're at kind of a different level, because coming in from the artist side, you know, you have your artists and your producer friends, and then, you know, you're doing the radio tours and the media tours also, or at least kind of looking to work into that space as well. And that was a space that I was in for a while, and it's a lot of fun. It's a great industry, you know, and it allowed me to get to the point of finding real estate, just like you found real estate as well, you know, through a different channel. Can we say your artist name? I'm on his Instagram page.
Right? Yeah, for sure. It's two times. So it's TWO. TIIME.
Yeah, I'm an alternative rock guy, so I don't
know. And I'm a hard rock guy, so
yeah.
Hard rock guy, so that's the interesting thing. I was a rap producer, but I'm a hard rock guy. So what do you listen to?
I mean, honestly, like my wheelhouse is 80s and 90s alternative. Like it just is.
Well, 90s alternative for me, right? Yeah, like it's hard to argue with that for sure. And what about you, Rory?
90s and 2000s alternative. Yeah. So just a decade younger.
Yeah. Although like, you know, the playlist I listen to the most right now is everything from like the 2000s and 2010s. That's an alternative rock. But every morning I listen to Sirius XM. I listen to First Wave, unabashed fan of that, you know, the Smiths and the Cure and Echo and the Bunnymen and the Pet Shop Boys. And I swear, if I don't hear it every morning, it's like, that Groundhog Day that we were talking about earlier. I mean, like, I've experienced that 3 days in a row where I walk our daughter outside and we legitimately see the neighbors leave their house at the same exact time. And we meet at the corner at the same exact time. We've been so on schedule this week where we all walk over to school together. And, you know, it's like, that's the one Groundhog Day part of my day. And then the rest of it, you never know where it's going to take you. Right. But it's okay to have that routine.
Oh, for
and
sure.
My routine in the morning, man, is First Wave. I got to listen to that First Wave.
Nice.
So, why don't we get to the final couple of questions that we ask all of our guests, then we'll wrap things up and learn where that people can learn more about you, Sean. First question, if you can get on stage for half an hour and talk about any subject in the world, what would that be?
That would definitely be on the motivation field, the motivational field, 100%. Just coming from, you know, from the ground up, like I think I was eight or nine by the time my mom and I got our first TV. So we just, you know, from those memories of dancing around the kitchen table while having dinner when a good song would come on the radio. I think it's just super important to not put yourself in a box, and that motivation of being like, you know, you can get it no matter what your circumstances are. You might have to work a little bit harder if some of the opportunities aren't as easy to achieve, or obtain, I should say, but, it's that motivation. If I got 30 minutes, I would be trying to light a fire up under everybody's ass to get them moving. And just realized that, like, you know, it could be crummy right now. Situation could be like, I felt like I hit rock bottom. That was the main source of me, of the, you know, we didn't talk about the mentality side, but like me getting into the real estate field literally ignited a fire that had been put out. When I was doing the general contracting company, I felt like the lowest of lows. And like, it's not like I was, you know, homeless. I had a roof over my head. I could afford food. But just in terms of like reaching my potential, I just felt so useless and empty. So it would be really centered around that. Like, if you're stuck, if you're feeling stuck, I've been there. If you're feeling low, I've been there. It would just be to say, like, it's not, how can we take it to the next level? Like, how can you get started? How can you get the train moving? Because once it starts going, like, you can just make sure that it doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Second question, tell us something that happened early in your life or career that impacts the way you're working today.
So can I deviate from early and just say, like, basically an important. So when I first got into real estate, I was making moves. And, you know, just starting, and we just moved into this new house, the one that I put the $25,000 down from the line of credit. We moved in October. That was every dollar that I had. And I was working to pay off that line of credit. So I remember Christmas, it was, you know, just my wife and I, and, basically nothing, no money. And I remember buying a new, like, we needed a Christmas tree. So we bought an artificial Christmas tree, and that was it. I was tapped out. And I remember I'm a huge Christmas junkie. My wife is as well. And I just remember not having any money to do anything. And just not something that I was used to as a kid. I had amazing Christmases. I stayed at my grandparents' place. You know, my mom was there. Like, we did it as a little family. It was awesome. But I remember that specific Christmas being like, holy smokes, man. Like, I know that things are trending in the right direction, but like right now I'm super stuck, super tapped out. You know, to the point where like I felt claustrophobic, like I'm like, I can't even breathe right now. And there's nothing around me. Like, I have tons of space because I can't afford to put anything in this room. But that was kind of my why. So that was the biggest impact, is like, this is not cool. Like, I'm never, ever going to let myself feel like this again. I'm never going to be in this spot again. And I just made sure, like, hustled like hell to make sure I was never in that spot again.
Wow. That's great inspiration right there. You know, what I like about everything we've talked about today is the legitimacy of your story. And, you know, some people can get trapped when they see people online and they're like, does that person really live that way? Or is that like real, what that person is posting? And, you know, digging into like your background and where you are today and what you're showing with both your real estate and the work on the A&R side, you know, with your artist, you know, this is who you are. You're a human, right? I mean, like, these people are humans that we see online. Sometimes it's way over fabricated, but sometimes you come across someone that, you know, is just, you know, has a great story behind them. And like, you know, what you see is legitimate.
What you see is what you get with me. So that's, yeah. You know, to go on the next question, if you want to get to know me, obviously LinkedIn's a great spot to connect, but Instagram is where I live socially. I'm not a big social media guy. It's not my favorite thing. I understand the importance of it, but my Instagram account, you're going to get all sides of me, from real estate, from music, to goofing around, to going to indie wrestling shows. And then obviously probably the biggest part of it is the stuff with me and the family, like me and my son, Carter. We have a ton of things, and that's my number one, as I'm sure, you know, it probably is for you, Jason. I don't know, Rory, yeah, if you have kids yet, but
we have the same one, actually.
Yeah.
We both
have
a
5-year-old.
Yeah.
Cool, man. So for you guys, like, being a parent is, you know, I don't want to go out and put you in a box, but it's probably your number one.
Oh yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. So being a parent is number one for me too. So it's, it just, you're going to get all of that on my Instagram for sure. You're just going to get to see every side of me.
You'll see a picture of your son with Seth Rollins, which is cool. yeah. Let me answer it. We actually had a third question, but I'm going to answer it for you, which is, tell us something you listen to, watch, or read lately. And I'm going to say it should be Two Time. All right. Because so if you're listening to this, go check out Two Time online. I have not listened yet, but I will listen. And right, I'm sure you're listening to a lot of Two Time's music.
I do. I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So Rory, where can people find out about you if they want to learn more about you?
Just go to rorygill.com and you can see the different ways you can get in touch with me and the different ways I can help you out.
Well, one day we're going to build that out, right? You know, we say it all the time.
It's a little bit of a landing right now, but yes, we'll build it out a little bit more intensively.
A little bit. If you want to be on the podcast or you've enjoyed the episode and want to hear more, realestatelawpodcast.com is where you'll find all the past episodes. You can also reach out to us there if you want to be a guest on the podcast. If you have comments or questions, please go ahead and ask away. We love 5-star reviews. So 5-star reviews on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere else. Sean, this has been a pleasure. We really love getting to know you. I love the mindset stuff that we got into. You know, just before we recorded, Sean's like, so is there like a format for the podcast or anything? And I'm like, well, here's kind of what we do, but we kind of just go with it. So like, this was like a freestyle rap, right? We just went with it. And here we are, you know, and it's just like, I love having conversations like this because it's not structured. You're not selling something, but you know, we really got into a lot of how you got.
But I ramble. That's the problem, you know, well, is I ramble in those ones.
Hey, when you ramble and I ramble, you all ramble together. But the good thing is that people heard an authentic story right here. And if we could inspire just one listener to say, hey, listen, you know, you can do it with whatever it is. You can get out of the situation that you're in. You can go further with where you are. You can manifest something. You know, here's just another story that shows that someone has done that. So, you know, we'll have done our job if one person comes out of this saying, thank you for recording that. So, Sean, thank you so much. We will talk to you next time. And thank you for listening or watching. And we'll see you.